So. Yeah. So Ernest Holmes, his third chapter is on from the book Law and Love and Law is on relief from responsibility. And I thought it was going to be like an arduous type of read, but it worked out really good. It was easy, and it was all sorts of reminders about, you know, the nature of God. You know, how does God express in this world? How does God show up in the universe? And, you know, we look at how everything is, especially the non-animated things, the mountains, the stars, the planets, you know, everything stays in perfect unison and it stays in place. Everything is pretty much structured. You know, you plant a seed and you kind of walk away from it. You nurture it some, but then it happens that, you know, it grows, it does the growing process. The next thing you know, it's a beautiful rose. That I see a lot of what Mary Rose put out there on the internet, on Facebook. So we take that for granted, but that is God expressing. That is a very defined and definite type of structure that God is. And it's like it's almost an expectation that if you do this, then this is what's to be expected. It's a law, and he's come up with well, not he, but you know, there are many laws that we work with, and one of the laws that we take for granted is obviously the law of attraction, the law of circulation, the law of emergence. What we put out, we are open to the expectations of it. So we plant a seed, what grows out? A beautiful bud. But if we plant a rose seed, we cannot expect to get aloe or something, right? So it's sort of definite type of law. And so that's where the reading took me first. So I sort of went into, you know, the nature of God, you know, spirit, mind, and body. And I sort of had printed off some of our basic sort of spiritual teaching, just trying to understand the oneness of what God is. And I could pass this around. It has another one on the back, which we would do at the second, after the break. But God is everything. You know, there is nowhere where God is not. And it all starts with spirit. Well, what is spirit? Spirit is thought. Spirit is ideas. Spirit is our impulsivity sometimes. Spirit is knowing. All right? Spirit is choice and power. And as a result of spirit is all knowing, then it always has to be, it's always, always knowing. It's never not knowing. It's always powerful. It's always everywhere present. And it is also very, what we call, deductive. So if it is, then it is everywhere. And so it was pretty refreshing to go back and read about that. And so with all the absoluteness of spirit and the first cause of spirit, that literally penetrates into what we call our soul or the law, right? And from that penetration, we actually start seeing demonstration, because it's what we think about, it's our thoughts that spirit law, the soul responds to. And the law is what we know as sort of a subservient or being a servant to our thoughts. So as we put our thoughts out there, the law doesn't care. The law is impersonal. They use the word like plastic and, you know, impersonable. It's a blind force, which is, you know, it's just waiting to receive whatever we impress upon it with our thoughts, with our ideas, with our knowing. Whatever that is, we put it, we release it. Actually, it's just there waiting. Ernest Holmes talked about it, and I like sometimes how Ernest Holmes talks about the Bible, and he makes it, he gives it that metaphysical slant. So he talks about the, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well, who would have ever thought that it meant the soul is waiting always for the impress of our thoughts to knock upon it, all right? So whatever we put out there, there is something that is waiting. I am at the door. You just need to knock and everything is yours. So it's yours because soul or spirit or soul or law or the creative medium is what literally manifest into matter. That's what we see. We don't see the spirit or the first cause. We don't see the absolute. It's the invisible. It's there. How we know it's there? Because we see the good in all things. We see if God is all powerful, then everywhere is powerful. If God is knowing, then we are knowing, right? And so that aspect of it, I'm using this sign because it's a V sign that kind of sort of penetrates from spirit, from all knowingness, into the law, and it goes into form. And form we could call what we call conditions. And some conditions we see and like, and some conditions we are like scratching against it. And that's where we find that we put too much of our effort in trying to change conditions in a very mental and effortful way. You know, we see what we don't like and we fight against it. Ernest Holmes has a very easy way of thinking differently, changing the result that you see and choosing a new result. And choosing that new result is going to start the process of creation all over, right? It's every time it's a newness of thought. So as we have a new thought and we have an impress of what we want, part of the relief that Ernest Holmes is talking about is, you know, you don't have to do everything. All you need to do is to think, to know, to have that idea. Whether your idea is brilliant or not, it's your idea. All you need to know is to feel. So he said, we don't need to do all of those. One of those would work. Anyone would work. Because it comes from the space of the absolute. It comes from the space of power. It comes from the space of us knowing that this is the oneness of all. So if we can even think it, then it is it, right? And so what the parts of the relief from responsibility is about us truly creating our own reality. And according to the first chapter, which is Mind Your Own Business, I remember that very well, so I had to bring that back. He said, our creative mind is our share of the universal mind. And whatever is true about you is universally true. Whatever is universally true must also be true of you. We speak forth into mind, and mind takes our thought and does it unto us. So I went back there because I needed more clearance, more clarity of mind, that it's truly my mind, but my mind is God's mind. My mind is it. Whether it is this small or it's this big, there is a oneness, all right? And of course, I'm comparing smallness because sometimes I don't know how to think really big, and that's a limitation that Ernest Holmes speaks about later on. But just know for right now that our mind is our share of the universal mind. Our share of God, if you want to put it in straightforward words. Mm-hmm. So we are dealing with scientific facts, and that's why I talked about all the things that are in place in the universe. It's scientifically placed, you know, whether it's dealing with the laws of gravity or the laws of separation or whatever laws there are. I am not always very scientifically minded, but scientists could explain what's going on as in the forms of laws out there. And so we are dealing with spirit and mind, with spirit and mind as matter, and it's like the three in one. So spirit, soul, body is the three in one. It's not three, it's always one, but it's categorized so we could understand it better. All right. So spirit is causation, it's like impulses, it's like love. It's our intelligence. Mind is mind and spirit is also cooperation, is creative power, which is forever creating. So we could call spirit mind, we can call mind spirit. It's ever operating on what our thoughts and beliefs we put in there. And part of belief or belief is just thoughts that we really keep thinking about over and over and over, and we cement those thoughts as true facts for us. And beliefs could be different. Everybody could have different beliefs about one thing, about the same thing, but it's what we believe about it that keeps going. So our thoughts are really important when it comes to what we believe to be true. And sometimes what we believe to be true can be distorted thinking. And so we have to know the difference. All right? What is true about us? What is true about God? If we know the truth and the qualities of God, then we can kind of fall back and start to reflect again. Are my beliefs aligned with what I know to be God, to be omniscient, omnipotent, joyful, love, graceful, giving, you know, abundant, you know, are my beliefs one of lack, one of feeling less than, one of inferiority, right? So the beliefs we have could be just short, fleeting beliefs where somebody puts an idea in us and we run with it, but then we don't hold on to it all the time. Or it could be pretty distorted beliefs as we hear them in growing up constantly. Miss Lavanya have amazing beliefs, which she has really strong truths about what I believe right now. But I have to go through a lot of give and take and doubting and reassuring myself that what I believe is true. Lavanya is growing up in a household that she has clarity of belief. So in growing up, sometimes we believe that, you know, we have to be the way we are because of what we saw in our homes or what we heard from our parents or from our teachers or from friends. And we took that as truth in our own lives. And as we take it as truth, guess what we manifest? We keep manifesting the things that are true because it's in our thoughts. And if it's in our thoughts, the creative power cannot not help but create. And so it's always recycling the things that we believe to be true and the things we believe to be untruths. But we don't believe it's untruth because we don't know it's untruth. But we have a guide now, a guide to put our beliefs against the beliefs of what God is. And those are some of the qualities we're going to talk about later. So you are dealing primarily with spirit and mind and the form in thought rather than form in matter. Form is in matter is incidental, by the way.
Love that.
Yeah? Because there is no thought given to matter. The only thought starts with the allness of things, and it just goes through the process of law, which ultimately brings it into being. So there is no real consciousness in matter. The consciousness is in everything else outside of matter. That's what I believe. So we have learned in our experience that when we get the true form on thought and permeate it in spirit, we shall see the thing made flesh without any further effort on our part. Relief from responsibility. So if, as we clarify over and over our thoughts and put that into the law, and we don't even have to put it into law, another relief, right? Just think the things we want. Feel the things we want. Have an emotion about what it feels like and how it is to get there. When you get there, how does that feel? What are some of the things that I want to see as a dream? Or what are the dreams that I've had that I haven't really given a lot of thought into, a lot of feeling into? You know, we just did a visioning recently, and it clarified so many things for me because it just made things clearer that once it's that God idea out there, then everything else just falls into place. And so it's just the same way. When we see and when we know our thoughts, what our thoughts are, and we just release those thoughts, like releasing our words. Our words are our thoughts, right? It just goes into law, and law, like the good servant, takes it wherever it needs to go, forms the impress of whatever is happening, and bring it into fruition or into matter. So we are dealing with nature, unseen and invisible, but we are more and more learning from an invisible, leaning on an invisible force operating upon an unseen plan. But the only plan we need to know or even worry about is, what do we want to see happen in our lives? Mm-hmm. Abraham mentioned What do you prefer to see in your life? Because sometimes we don't know for sure what we want, and I really like the word, what do you prefer? And so preferring will pull me to a different space of, I would prefer this rather than that. Both of them I want, but my preference is here because there is an excitement in that preference. There is a higher sense of choosing. And so we have to take mind as it is, which is law, and treat laws like they are. Laws are simple. The laws are simple, and some of the laws, like we talked about, you know, laws of attraction, laws of circulation, laws of emergence. And because I'm a good student, hello, I printed up, come on in. I printed up some laws. How are you?
I'm good, how are you doing?
Good, welcome. And I'm going to pass these around as well. There are 12 laws, which I had no idea of, and there are other laws which Ernest Holmes also spoke about. I would leave yours here. You could pass that around. And let me give you this as well. Yes. And the other one coming around is just a definition of the differences between spirit, mind, and body. So, the great relief from all responsibilities lie in the fact that mind acts upon thoughts, and that's where we are. It acts upon thoughts, it acts upon you, it acts upon me. It has to act upon us personally, obviously, because we are the one doing the thinking, all right? So in other words, we do not have to project into universal mind a definite thought or pattern sometimes or image or even belief, all right? We just talked about belief, and you may not get a definite knowledge of what you want, but you can feel what you want. And for sure, you will be getting the same result, all right? So mind acts upon the thought, the image, the belief, the knowledge, the impulse, the desire, the dream, the vision. It's the same thing. It acts upon it and creates that thing. It molds it into whatever we want to see happen as a result. So Ernest also mentioned about the impersonalness of the law, which we kind of talked about. And then he said, there's an impersonal principle of mind which does unto the thinker what he thinks. And the sooner you know it and learn to control your thought, the sooner you will be able to heal your body and control your conditions. Mm-hmm. And until you do learn it, your conditions control you. Ernie knew how to be right straight to the point, didn't he? He had no softness in him sometimes, right? So, and it's the fact, okay? We don't want to linger around too long in conditions that we are not feeling good about. And so if we can really get a hold of, are these the things that I want to see in my life? Is this what is happening? How do I know that my thoughts are more on the distorted side than on the side that is going to bring the things that I need? Because either way, we're going to get a yes from the law. Either way, thought impacts the law. It is impersonable and it will act. All right. So it is necessary that soul and body should exist because spirit without manifestation would construct only a dream world. Hmm. How amazing, right? Never coming into self-realization. So spirit without action, spirit without thought is a a dream, is a vision, is an idea, is power, is unlimited power, is unlimited law. And nothing happens until we project our thought into the fullness of what spirit is. And in order to be spirit, there must be a way. Okay, since spirit must be manifested, in order to be spirit, there must be a way in which it manifests. And there must be a manifestation, hence we have body and soul. So it's making sense of, you know, what we are looking at as the nature of what God is, all right? It is necessary to understand that the only active principle is spirit. It is self-conscious, it is self-knowing, it is life, and that's all, and that all else is subject to its will. All right? So this is the power that we talk that God is. It's all-knowing. And I notice, and it's getting easier and easier for me in recognizing that all-knowingness, because there are times when I am kind of meeting with patients or clients, and I feel stuck. And all of a sudden, I take a deep breath, and I say, I know this. Or I just take a deep breath, and I'm really learning to breathe with these, breathing and trying to find a sense of when I breathe, I know that I'm in a space. And so I take a deep breath, and without any type of effort, I just let go. And the next things we are talking about is what the person really wants to hear, mm-hmm. and what makes sense for that person in the moment. And to me, that is always a demonstration that is happening, because it's so easy to access this all-knowingness, all-knowing power, this amazing wealth of all the goodness that we are and we have at our accessibility. All right? So sometimes we come into beliefs without knowing we are practicing these beliefs, and we talked about that. You establish a vibrational point of attraction, which sometimes they are here and they are gone, or sometimes they stick around. Sometimes your parents, as we talked about, that's part of what I talked about, we live what we believe, all right? I have a thing that I give out to patients. A child lives what they learn. You know, if a child learns, lives with criticism, they learn to condemn. If a child lives with pain, they learn to be violent. If a child lives with grace and appreciation, they learn to give praise. If a child lives with love, they learn to share and give love in the world as well. So it has a lot of stuff that we live and we grew up with, and then we wonder, well, where did I get this from? And then, like yesterday, I told a patient, she said, no, I got this from nowhere, this is me, this is who I am. And a little bit lower, later, she said, oh my God, that's my dad. Oh, that's my dad, really. I am my father. But a lot of her characteristics showed up because he was the way he is. Very little emotion. Go, go, go. Perfection, perfection, perfection. And she's wondering, why am I like that? And I said, nothing's wrong with it. It brought you to where you are at this point. But just know, if it is something that you're starting to not feel good about, that you can change that belief that you grew up with. And this is the exact thing. Sometimes we hold on to a belief that doesn't work for us, or worked for us up to a point. Took her up to college, she did her master's, Valley Victorian, but now she's unhappy. She feels too restrained and too into one place. And so she's opening up and changing her beliefs. All right? So I'm going to close off. I had a few other little nuggets, but we have 3 minutes to get to our 12 o'clock. So I'm going to go with, so he talked about part of us realizing our dream, part of us knowing our responsibility is about doing what we call treatment or prayer, all right? And he mentioned that everything that appears in anyone's body is thought, which we talked about. There is not anything else to appear into form. So he mentioned this, and I don't like to always go there because I don't want, you know, sometimes it doesn't feel good to me. But he said, you know, think about our bodies. Think about what we go through. Think about sometimes illness and the way, you know, things happen. And he said, if we are ill, if we have a diagnosis, if we have a condition in our bodies, well, if you really think about it, if everything starts with thought, then it has to be thought that caused the demonstration of whatever we are experiencing. And that doesn't feel good all the time, but it makes sense, because what else will impact law? What else will impact subjective mind except an idea, a feeling, a thought, a vision, a dream, right? So it makes sense. So he said, I am seeking to know the truth right where I am, disregarding where they may be, and I may succeed, and I succeed and they receive. I'm not sure why that is, but what he's kind of talking about is when we do a treatment for ourselves, then know the truth of where we are in this moment. So even though we are going through, let's say, body illness, or we are going through poverty, or we are going through any condition that doesn't feel good, first you want to know the opposite truth of it. So what does God open up to me like? What is the truth I want to see and experience opposing this? Now, you're not violently opposing it either, because the more you oppose it is the more energy you give to it, all right? You want to see what's the opposite of what you're experiencing now. And so it he talked about just being diligent enough to work on our own level of truth, and whatever level that is, we do it in a nonchalant way. Nonchalant would mean don't put a lot of effort into it. Do it from a scientific point. Do it from, you sow the seed, you put your water, you close the earth, you walk away, something happens. It starts growing, all right? And he wants us to take on that. That's the responsibility he wants. He said, take it on knowing that you put your thoughts out there, you can turn your back and walk away knowing that the law has to happen. This is where our belief and faith truly, truly comes in, all right? It kind of helps. It's an attitude, the belief that it has to happen. Faith is an attitude as well. It has to happen. And if we put that out there, knowing that we are literally God, putting God into the earth to make that open up and bud for us, then it is a scientific way. And so we walk away, and we walk away nonchalantly that it's happening. This is how it's going to happen, right? And so I just wrote down a few things that he talked about. His, how do we get relief from responsibility? So when we pray or treat ourselves, we want to treat just as if it was someone we were treating. So sometimes we treat or pray for others afar or someone close. When we pray, we see the result. We see them healed. We see conditions change. But for some reason, when we pray for ourselves, we go back and we want to dig it up. We want to ruminate about it. We are like, did I put that in right? Did I? And we guess and double guess ourselves. And so he wants us to not put all that energy. He calls that the energy of fear. All right? And so when we have an energy of fear, we cannot feel good and comfortable. And then there is confusion. What is the fear which comes in the form of a thought now telling Spirit, telling the Lord to do? What is the Lord to do? Is the Lord to kind of stop the growth because we're not sure what's going on? Or is the Lord saying, where is the fear? Let's see where we can find fear and bring fear into manifestation. All right? So be careful with how we feel about what we do. Go with the faith, go with trust, go with everything we got. Put it there, walk away, knowing that everything is on our side. It has to happen, right? You can get a greater consciousness than you do when you bear in consciousness the limitations of your fears. So remember that fear is a limitation. And when you start feeling fear, what he advises and what I know is treat that fear. How do you treat that fear? You treat it by, again, looking at the opposite. What's the opposite of fear? Maybe calm, maybe some relaxation, maybe grace, maybe assurance, right? Look on the opposite of fear and say, okay, I will stay in this space, at least given what I want, a better chance than blocking the vibration of what I need to relax and let go of. Instead of blocking, I don't want to be that. I want to be able to move forward. Don't treat yourself too much either. Don't be praying about the same thing. It's good to pray. I'm not going to dunk that one, but don't be going back and praying all the time. He said he would give us at least 3-4 times a day. But don't keep going through it, because every time you go through it, you change the energy and you start presenting limitations. Because if you're going to be praying that much, what does that say about us? Right? We don't have that full faith and belief in what we want, all right? Get absolutely at one with yourself. And it tells me how, I could give you the page number for that, or I could write it out and do what Connie did, send it out to you all. Remember, God makes things from what you think. Everything comes into visibility from the invisible. Conditions have no power over you. Remember that. Our faith helps because it's an attitude that we need to help hold the substance of what we want. Remember, there is nothing but what we call God that has to happen, that makes things out of what it is. And remember, we are dealing with the law, and it names all the laws. Part of his laws were harmony and adjustment, laws of balance, laws of increase. And treat until you feel sure within yourself that this is true. That is how you want to treat. Not think that you're putting something out there and you keep going after it. Treat until you know what it is you want is true. Then go back, go about your business in a normal sort of way, being careful and watching how you think. So even as you walk away, I know Mary Rose blesses in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. No, you probably don't. But I know you probably walk away with a prayer and say, you know, these are the beautiful roses I'm expecting to see in how many months? And for some reason, they always come out beautiful. But when you walk away with positive, powerful thoughts about what you want. And lastly, know what you want. If you're asking for something, ask in a direct way. God reads minds, okay? Yes, but the mind that is being read by the law, which if you're not clear, you're not going to get clarity. So if you want wine, don't ask for water. If you want milk, don't ask for wine, right? So come very clear, be very crispy clear, and God doesn't care what is asked for. Why do I say that? It's because we're dealing with a very scientific law that once we put our thoughts and our ask into that subjective space, it picks it off and moves with it. All right? So stop thinking that we have to fluffy up the words and we have to fluffy our feelings. It's not that way. It's way too scientific to go into that aspect of it, unless we put fluffy things and we want fluffy results. All right? So thank you very much.